true too. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And when you've got Him as your helper, He's bigger than anything going on. If you don't think He's bigger than anything going on, look at creation, look at the universe. You'll find out He's a big, big God. If He can take care of those things, He can take care of our little things. Well, it's good to be here. I know some of you come to hear the pastor, but you'll just have to wait. And I just want to say I'm glad that our pastor goes and preaches at various places. I pastored for 22 years, and one pastor that I had for 7 years was his assistant for 7 years. In that 22 years, he come one time to my church in Cape Girardeau. And when he come, I thought the whole king of the world come. Because he was an inspiration to me, because I was his assistant for 7 years. And you don't understand, many of you don't understand what he's going to do for Brother Stewart and their family and that family right there in Olathe, Kansas. And he's a guy that's got ADHD and preaching, and he's got to do it. Okay? Now, some of you may understand that and some of you may not, but I mean, he's a preacher. And it's burning in his bones, and he gets an opportunity to go, he's got to go. And he's got a great staff that takes care of things here. And so, you know, I'm just glad he goes. I'm glad to see him come back, but I'm glad he goes. And I'm glad he has the opportunity to minister. You know, and he kind of like the Apostle Paul. He goes because he cares about the churches. And some of these places he goes is where our church has sent me in, and so on and so forth. And he goes and encourage them. And what a blessing. Hey, you don't know what a blessing that is to the pastor in that church. So just pray for him when he goes, and then pray for him when he gets back, and just keep praying for him. And maybe one of these days he'll just... No, he won't burn out. No, he won't. Yeah, but anyway. You know, you can burn out and you rust out. Either way, you're out. Yeah, so you don't want to do that. All right. We'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. And it is our privilege to the pastor to give us honor to be here and to preach. I'm not taking his place, I'm taking my place. I cannot take his place. And so he's asked us to be here, and so we're here. Always amazes me what children will say when they go home from church and so on. And one day on the way home from church, a little girl turned to her mother and said, "Mommy, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." And the mother said, "Oh, what's that?" And the girl said, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true?" "Yes, that's true," Mama replied. "He also said that God lives within us. Is that true?" And again, Mother replied, "Yes." "Well," said the girl, if God is bigger than us and He lives in us, wouldn't He show through?" In the day in which we live, we see a lot of things going on that you, if you don't think you're close to the end times, you've got your head in the sand. There's never been a time when the world has been so bad and getting more wicked as time passes. Now, don't be surprised about that, because Paul in his last day said to Timothy, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, that doesn't mean it's going to get better, but what is the cause? The cause is that we're getting farther away from the Bible. Amos said in Amos 8:11, there'll be a famine in the land because of hearing the Word of God. Now, some of you here this morning, you're going to hear, but you're not going to heed. By the way, I've sat in that pew a few times myself. Okay. But we'll all be better off if we'll heed, not only hear, but heed the Word of God. And so this morning, I want us to look at some of the things now that that Paul did to maybe keep his motivation going. He kind of had ADHD too, you know. He wanted to start churches. He got on fire for God. When God saved him, God changed him, and he become on fire for God, and he come concerned about the souls of men and women, boys and girls going to the devil's hell. Now, because of what we have gone through in America and what we are now going through, the world has become more wicked, and the problem is the churches have moved about the direction the world has. We don't want to let the world in, we want to keep the world out. We're to go out to the world, not bring the world in here. And so we got to keep that in mind. I had a thing one time at my church that kind of caught on to everybody's saying, and we was going to do something one time. I said, no, we're not going to do that in the auditorium. And they looked at me kind of funny, and I said, one thing I want you to remember, when we lose the sacredness of this place, where are you going to go to find it? Think about that. This place got to remain sacred. This is where we gather to worship God and bring praises to Him. Okay, it's not to entertain each other. It's not to get up here and do things that God wouldn't be pleased with. And so we want to maintain our distinction from the world, not our distance from God. Okay, I love our pastor that he just preaches the Word. If you don't like it, learn to like it because it's good for you. It's kind of like eating certain kind of vegetables when you was a kid. Yeah. Try them, you'll like them sooner or later. Maybe later than sooner, but you're going to like them. But I want us to look this morning in regard to the Apostle Paul. I'm not going into a lot of history of the Apostle Paul. We know he got saved on the road to Damascus and all that, and he gave havoc to the church. I may say something more about that, but my point is this morning is that the Apostle Paul was a man that was on fire for God, and he even told Timothy things are going to get worse and worse. Well, let me just say, because I've got authority to back it up, things ain't going to get any better. So, what kind of motivation did Paul have in his day, knowing that things was going to get worse, and he even told Timothy, Timothy, I want to warn you, things aren't going to get better. But I got some motivation to keep you going. And it's the Word of God. And if you'll trust it, and if you'll believe in it, when He comes, you'll be looking for Him. Because you'll be living that way every day. And that's the way the Apostle Paul was. If you'd all stand with me while we read the Word of God. 2 Corinthians. Is that what I said earlier? Well, God bless you. I got that one thing right. Didn't I? Chapter 5, and we begin reading with verse number 9. Wherefore we labor. Now, I'll try not to stop. My people used to say, every time you stop, you get longer, preacher, so I'll try not to stop. But ministry is a labor. It's a labor against your flesh to do what the Spirit wants. If you don't know what that is, then try to do what the Spirit wants, and you'll understand your flesh better. Yeah, because something ain't shining through. Okay. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Evidently, God knew that we'd do some of both. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest in your consciences. For we commend ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye have somewhat to answer them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether ye be beside yourselves, it is to God, or whether ye be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no more man after the flesh. Though ye have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And we're going to stop there. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning Oh, thank you for your word. Thank you for putting it in print. Thank you for inspiring men to write it down and that it be preserved at this present time for us to look at and read and heed and obey and seek your face whenever we're failing, like I was talking about in Sunday school this morning. And Lord, never forget that if we can't fail when we're doing your will. And so, dear Lord, I pray this morning that every one of us, that as we go through these times in this old world, that we'll be motivated this morning to continue to trust you even to the end, like the Apostle Paul, knowing there was a crown of righteousness laid up. And so, dear Lord, help us to be faithful to you till you come. In Jesus' name we pray. If there's one here this morning that's lost, or more than one that's lost this morning, Lord, we pray for that soul that's lost. They need to get ready because a rapture could happen at any moment. This old wicked world, Jesus is ready to come, no doubt in our mind. He's ready. I don't know if he's going to come now. I don't know if it'll be 10 years from now. But he said, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And he won't be waiting for somebody to repent. They must get saved today. And so, dear Lord, we pray for that and it's lost. Then we pray for those of us that are Christian, Lord, that today we'd be enthused and motivated to some extent, that our souls would be reignited, if you please, and excited and enthused to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's soon going to be here, and some people are not ready or not going to be ready forever. So, Lord, help us to be faithful to You. Help us to be like the little girl said, help You to shine. To shine through, because it's really all that matters in every one of our lives, because that You might get the glory and the praise and the honor for what You have already done for everyone that's saved and what You want to do for the unsaved. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, we pray that You'll be with pastors. He's preaching now perhaps in his revival this week. We pray You at every service You'll give him a fresh anointing of Your power and of Your Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that He'd preach His heart out like He always does when He stands here at this pulpit. And I pray, dear Lord, that souls will be saved and saints will be encouraged. The church will be revived and they'll be excited about what's happening in the place of Kansas. Now, Lord, we'd be careful to give You praise for what You do here this morning. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In present time, when the world is so corrupt and those that are against spreading the gospel and are against honor and decency, they're against faithful church attendance, or they're against honesty and integrity, purity, respectful lifestyle. So how does a Christian keep up their dedication and motivation? Fact is, let me maybe ask you how you rank your passion for Jesus Christ on a scale from 1 to 10. Not me, you. I'll scale me, you scale you. What's your passion for Jesus in your everyday life? How often do you mention His name in your everyday life? How often do you mention Him in your home, in your everyday life? What do you do? What is your scale that your passion and love is for Jesus Christ? Or do you walk through every day just kind of keeping it secret? There is no secret. Disciples, we ought to be one that are trying to spread and live and do things which God wants us to live. Now, Paul seemed to always be dedicated and eternally motivated in his Christian life. And in regard to the church at Philippi, he wrote, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he kept his focus on the love and understanding of Jesus Christ. I'm going to sidetrack here a little. I in my ministry, in my life, I believe there's one thing that needs to be kept in mind. If you don't understand how much God loves you, you need to understand how much He loves you. If you don't understand, read Matthew 26 and 27 once a week and go through how He suffered, just as I put at the top of my Bible. Just for me. And by the way, He did it for you. But He did it for me. And that's personal. And Paul kept his eyes on the love and the understanding of Jesus Christ. And we need, as Christian people, to have some of them motivation marks in our life to get past the deception and all these other things, for God gives us truth. Look at verse 14, if you will, please, for just a minute. And the Bible says here in verse 14, for the love of Christ. By the way, let me just stop here a minute, because I'm going to skip around here just a little bit. Okay, so don't get too excited, and then I'm going over Galatia just a little bit. But I'm not going to do an exposition sermon in order, so to speak. That's about the way my mind runs. But anyway, it's, God used me too. But anyway, the fact is, he says here, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What is Paul saying here? He's saying that God's love says, you come first. Self-love says, I am before you. And so he says, I understand that somewhere, whenever Jesus Christ, in the purpose of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the beginning, purposed this before the world was ever created, said, I know what we're going to do to save sinners from their sin. And I know that for a fact that whenever they planned all that, and whenever I understood, whenever I come to the place of God's love for me, and I understood that, he said, the love of Christ constraineth me. He's not talking about how much love I have for Him that keeps me on the road. He's saying, I'm saying, how much He loves me that keeps me on the road of Christianity. It keeps me on that road. He said, it's not my love to Him, it's His love for me. Paul was against Jesus. He was against those that were following Him. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, the Bible said, He made havoc of the church, had them arrested and put in prison. And then one day on the road to Damascus, somebody stepped in His way. Thank God for the day that Jesus Christ stepped in our way. I put Christian in prison and said, I had no reason. Or God had no reason to love me. I didn't give Him no reason to love me. I was a killer of Christians and people that followed His way. I wasn't worthy to be saved in my sight. But He said one day on the road to Damascus, He stopped me and He saved my soul and put my feet on solid rock. By the way, if you're not on the solid rock, you're on loose gravel. And so, he said, the love of Christ, one of the motivations of the Apostle Paul was how much Christ loves me. And I've not forgot it. I wasn't worthy to be saved. I was against everything that He was for. But one day He saved my soul. And by the way, we was all there at one time. I mean, we didn't appreciate the things of God and the teaching of the Word of God and so on. You remember Jesus went to a synagogue one time and there's an evil spirit in there, and the evil spirit said, let us alone. You ever knock on somebody's door? Slam! You know what that means? Interpret that means, let us alone. Well, you know who's inside? The devil is. I'm always glad when I make the devil mad. Yeah. But I'm trying to get somebody glad in Christ Jesus. And Paul said, one of the motivations is, he said, the love of Christ constraineth me because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that included me. And then he said, and he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth. That word henceforth means no further, not any longer, not any more. In other words, he says, I just live for Him. That's what his motivation was. And Paul learned that very clearly as he wrote to the Roman church. He said, I have learned one thing that's very clear in my heart and mind, and every one of us needs to have this motivation in our life. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? They that live godly shall suffer persecution. Is it going to get better? It's going to get worse. You better understand there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Okay. And as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey, Paul got that settled, and it was one of his central motivations to keep him faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and telling other people about the gospel. Okay? You say, what are you saying, preacher? I said, well, in this day and time, don't forget the love of Christ. It'll help you in your Christian life. Secondly, Paul's motivated because he's a new creature in Christ. Look at verse 17. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, okay, he is, not becoming one, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Paul says that another thing that motivated him was he's a new creature in Christ. He said, old things have passed away. He said, my wicked, sinful ways are gone, and all things are become new. And those things that have become new are from God, because it couldn't have been from me. I know what I was, but now I'm a new creature in Christ. And by the way, if you're saved, you're a new creature in Christ too. You need to live like it, act like it, talk like it, wear clothes that look like it. Okay? You know, your clothes say what you believe without saying a word. Some people wear wonderful clothes here at church and they don't away from church. Oh, didn't get a lot of amen out of that. But I mean, that's just the way it is in the day and time in which we live. I could go on that a little farther, but it got so quiet in regard to flesh, showing too much flesh, showing too much form, showing too much fit, showing too much fashion. And not in honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll offend somebody if I stand up. Well, listen, who are you going to offend? The one that loves you the most or the one that doesn't love you the most? Okay? That's what you've got to decide. As a pastor, listen to me now. As a pastor, there's some people always ask, well, why don't you change this? Why don't you change that? Why don't you change something else? Well, why don't you change? Hello? I've got a book that I can't change. I ain't got the authority to change it. I don't even want to change it. It's right. It's true. It's faithful to us if we'll do it. Paul says, I'm a new creature. I'm not the old man I used to be. If you can't tell it, I can tell it. Hello, and the way Apostle Paul was, he could tell it. Amen? And so, he was motivated by the fact he's a new creature in Christ. I've got to go on. Thirdly, he was motivated by the fact he could reconcile people to Christ. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Wow, what a statement. He has reconciled us to himself by giving us his Son. Wow, what a statement. Perfect Son. Able to, with his shed blood on Calvary, take care of my sin, but not only my sin, but the sins of the whole world. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that's what we all were. Christ died for us. God, it says here, reconciling us to himself by Jesus Christ. Then he said, Paul said, here's what keeps me motivated, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To bring people that don't know him to the excitement that I have in knowing him. And I don't mind telling people that I'm excited that I'm on my way to heaven. I've got eternal life. It's not part-time. It's full-time. It's all the time. It'll be through all the time and eternity. And I'm not ashamed of it. Say, well, what are you so happy about? I know where I'm going and I know how I'm going to get there. Amen? Amen? Paul said, that motivates me that I can reconcile somebody else through Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature, and it motivates me that I have the power and that God can give me that authority through His Word. I can't save nobody, but He can save everybody. I used to have a person, and I led the Lord say, preacher, I'm sure glad you saved me. I said, I didn't save you. I didn't save nobody. I ain't never saved nobody. I had a man one time that come out of the Catholic Church, and he was a truck driver, and For a long time, he couldn't attend church faithfully, so when he'd miss church, he would say, "Preacher, I'm sorry I missed Mass on Sunday." We just let him say that and go on. One of the days, he said, "You know what? I've been a stupid fella. You know, I just went to Mass all my life. That's what I called it." I said, "Hey, you ain't been stupid. You're right at the right place where you need to be all the time." Yeah, really are. Why? Because you got that straightened out. Because there's a Mass going to heaven on Jesus Christ's name and the fact that He is reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. I got another story, but I got more stories. We got time. We got to go on. But anyway, he says, "I'm reconciled to God. I can reconcile sinners back to God. I can get them in the family of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Just like me, they can become a new creature. They can understand the love of the Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul said, "I'm motivated by that." And he said in verse number 10, notice what he says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone that may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it be good or bad." Paul said, "I not only got saved, I only not got the gift of eternal life, I not only got the privilege to reconcile to other people to Christ, but I don't get just heaven as my reward. I get rewarded for what I do for Him here. By the way, so every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, you listen very carefully today, okay? The judgment seat of Christ is not the judgment of our sins. You take care of that when you ask God to forgive you while you're on this earth. By grace through faith and so on, you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Your sins are already judged on the cross. When He forgives you, that's over. Whenever you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, you will not be judged for your sins. You'll be rewarded for the deeds that you've done in your body. I say now, what's your scale that you have a passion toward Jesus? Oh, did I say that before? Well, I'm getting older. But anyway, let me just say to you this morning, okay, that we really well receive our rewards. But listen to me. You that are not saved this morning, are you listening? Okay? If you're not saved this morning, one day you'll go to a great white throne judgment where all the unsaved go. Okay? We have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that is our advocate when we are lost and we come before God and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, knowing we are a sinner toward God and He forgives us of our sins and so on. We get that taken care of. Then when the rapture comes, we go out of here. But if you're not saved, you go to great white throne judgment. Two different judgments. And there'll be a judge there. Kind of like a judge one time was in a courtroom and he got done with his day in the courtroom, and as he left the court that day, maybe I've shared this illustration before, but as he left the court that day and so on, he was going home and he come up on this wreck at an intersection. There's a body laying out there. He went out there and the person wasn't breathing, so he gives him CPR, brings him back to life, paramedics take him to the hospital, and the judge goes on home about his day and so on. About 2 or 3 months later, this guy shows up in his court. He had done an awful crime and it was about time for the judge to sentence him. And he said to the guy, he said, "Have you got anything you want to say before I pronounce judgment on you?" He said, "Well, judge, don't you remember who I am? I was the man that had the accident. They told me that you gave me CPR and brought me back to life. You saved my life, and I just want you to know. Don't you know who I am?" He said, "Yes, son, I know who you are. That day I was your Savior." Today, I'm your judge. I don't know if you'll get this little statement or not, but let me advise you, if you're not saved, to settle out of court. Everybody's rather settle out of court. Amen. But I'll tell you, when it comes to your sins, you better settle it with Jesus Christ out of court, because I'm telling you, it ain't going to be settled any other time. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Okay? You'll be judged. So then every one of us, Patsy don't give account for me, I don't give account for her, and so on, my children, anybody else. Okay? Everyone shall give account of himself to God. But Paul was motivated because he was a Christian. He said, I not only want to get to heaven, but I get rewarded for even being there. Hallelujah! And everything that I do, he got recorded. So keep our scale as we can, as close to God as we possibly can, and honor Him with our life like the Apostle Paul did. He said, man, it motivates me to know that I don't only get to be saved, I not only get all my sins forgiven, I not only get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but I get to go to heaven. When I get there, He's going to reward me for what I've done. Hallelujah! You can't beat that deal any place. Says, well, what are you getting all excited about? I think in the day in which we live, we ought to get motivated of who Christ is and what He's done for us and what He's yet going to do. Hey, listen. I could go back there and read you in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, go over a few. Let's go over a few pages. I'm going to take time. Chapter 11. Okay? Now listen to me. Okay? Because the Bible tells us very clearly that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. So, Brother Pringle, do you think it's going to get worse? I have no question about it because that's what the Bible says. But notice here what the Apostle Paul said, and let me just start about verse 24. I could just start basically anywhere up above there even. But of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered a shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heat, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in the perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watching often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And besides all these things that are without, he said, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. You know who is in churches? People. Paul said, I care for them. People. The pastor goes from place to place because he does not only cares about the pastor and their family and so on, but he cares about people. Oh, by the way, did I say something about Paul said, they that will live godly shall suffer persecution. By the way, how many of these things have you been through? Hello? You say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pringle? I mean, Paul said that's what he went through. And God is no respecter of person. So if the world gets worse and worse, could we possibly go through some of the same things that Paul went through? Yeah, okay, now, what's your scale to being passionate and dedicated and determined to serve Jesus? Hello? Well, now, just think about it. Where would you like to go, to heaven or hell? And if you're going to heaven, why don't you serve the one that's going to get you there? Okay? Because there is no other. Okay? And Paul understood that very clearly. And he knew of where he was going. Every one of us shall give account, he said, to God. Now, I'm going over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, because there's another thing that motivated Paul. Okay? Paul said in Galatians 6, 14, but God forbid that I should glory. Paul said that I should glory. If anybody could glory with what the Apostle Paul did and what we boast sometimes about the Apostle Paul and all the churches he started and the missionary journeys he went on. He was a great servant for the living God. And you could say, if anybody was to boast, I was thinking this morning, I said to myself, I wonder how many churches could be started of those that I've led to Christ. Maybe you need to ask yourself that question. Because he started several churches. Yeah. And he went through some persecution. Mm-hmm. So if we was to have to go through that, what's going to motivate you to keep you going? Paul says, I know what's motivating me. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Are you settled with that in your heart and life? If you're not settled, you need to get settled with it. But Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the... cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Paul said, what motivates me is the cross. When I think of what he did for me and how lacking I am doing something for him. Every day God records it. What you've done, what I've done. Every day. Brother Melvin teaching the class this morning, I thought, how many days do we go to sleep and there's not too much recorded on what? You say, well, preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a missionary, I'm not this, I'm not that. If you are a Christian, you ought to be mindful every day that when God lets you open your eyes of a morning, it's by His hand, because He can take you or leave you whenever He so desires. So when you're alive and well and can put your feet on the floor and move forward, you need to thank God for it. Amen? And every day you're working and making a living, you'll say, thank God, I mean, I'm still alive and so on. And I say something about Jesus to somebody during the day and what have you, and just let people say, well, I don't like that. Well, get used to it, because I can't keep it shut up. Hello. That's the way Paul was, and maybe we need some of that motivation, but he said the cross of Christ. He said, Paul could have boasted about his testimony. He said, I don't boast about my testimony. By the way, there's nobody in this building that will boast about their testimony. Don't boast about your family. Paul had a good family. He had a good heritage, did he not? Had a good education with Gamaliel. He could have said, man, I've got the best education. I've been raised in the best family, and so on. That had nothing to do with his salvation. Paul said, I don't boast about my financial and business success. He said, I boast that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me and you. That's all I've got to boast about. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, that he that believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God, hello, is condemned already. So you're in condemnation or you're in salvation, one of the two. You're not somewhere in the middle. And so, he said, the cross of Christ is a motivation to me. Then he says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye there spiritual, restore in such a one in the spirit of meekness, and consider thyself, lest I also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If you remember, he said to the disciples of John 13, 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also may love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. The law of Christ is for you and I to love each other and show our love to each other. Try to feel when somebody's going through the same thing that maybe you've never went through. And if you've never went through it, don't say, oh, I know what they're going through if you've never been there. But try to empathize with them and try to put yourself there, for example. And say to them, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm praying for you. Paul says, boy, I tell you what, there's nothing like that that motivates me. You say, well, what all motivated the Apostle Paul? Well, let me go back through. It's some of the things that ought to motivate us in the day in which we live. Number one, the love of Christ. We ought to be motivated by the love of Christ. Secondly, being a new creature in Christ. We're in the family of God. We've been adopted in. We can't get kicked out. We're going our way to heaven. Going to spend eternity there and never be cast out. Besides that, we get some rewards on the way. Well, I shouldn't have preached that point again. Let me go back. Have the love of Christ and the new creature in Christ. Reconciling sinners back to God. In other words, witnessing to the lost and restoring those that are away from God. Let me say this to you sometimes. There I go again. See, you're putting this off. But anyway, sometimes people say, well, I ain't going over at that church. I'm telling you, that guy that's over at that church, I don't like him, and I'm not going back as long as he's over there. Well, if he's there, he's closer to the Lord than you are. Hello? So where do you need to be? You need to get right with God and get right with man. Okay? And if you've wronged somebody or offended someone as a Christian, then get it straightened out. Say you're sorry. Now, you can't, there's a lot of things you can't do as far as recompensing everybody what maybe you've done wrong and hurt feelings and all that. You can't ask people to forgive you. You say, well, preacher, that's hard to do. Yeah, I know. My pastor used to say that I was a sister with 7 years. He said, you know, they ain't none of us like humble pie. But a piece every now and then won't hurt you. Yeah. So he had the love of Christ. That's what motivated him. He had a new creature. He was a new creature in Christ. He could reconcile sinners. Wow, sinners, really, like me? Yeah, like you were, Paul. I can reconcile sinners back to God because I have the truth of the Lord Jesus and the love of the Lord Jesus. And I can restore people back that went away. He said, I get to receive the rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. He said, I can only boast and I can only brag about the cross of Christ. And he said, I get to bear somebody else's burdens along the way. Oh, what a man the Apostle Paul was. Can I ask you this morning now? I've asked myself this. How do you rank in your dedication and passion, your determination, your motivation for Jesus Christ from 1 to 10? How is it? Are you saved? Which judgment is yours? You need to be saved. You need to be ready. For the rapture comes. Jesus will not wait. Because He said, be ye ready for it in such an hour as you think not. The Son of Man comes. Can I just stop here for just a moment? With all of the things, tsunamis, earthquakes, fires, floods, things that's taken place around this world, God is trying to sell us without question in my mind. This is just a snippet of what the tribulation period is going to be that a pastor is preaching on every Sunday morning. He said, you're just getting a snippet. They're over in Indonesia. What, they got a count of 1,700 now? And one newscaster said, how do you locate the bodies? And very clearly, this may be gross to some of you, but he said, one way, smell. When we go through the tribulation time, if you're here to go through the tribulation, let me tell you something. Friend, it's not going to be any kind of picnic. And it'll be on the just as well as the unjust. But He wants you to get saved today. You see, Jesus can make many changes in your life right here. Good changes. But He will not change the time or the place of having you to give an account and facing judgment. He's a just God and He won't change His judgment. You will stand before God and you will give account. To the unsaved, let me say, repent. Jesus said, repent or perish. True repentance is never too late, but late repentance is seldom true. You come with that one more time, because some people say, well, I just want to live my life right now. I just don't want to make that kind of commitment. Well, do you realize the wrath of God is upon you? That's what Jesus said. What do you mean the wrath of God? The anger of God. You're not going to get through some other way without going through Jesus Christ. And He's made a way for you. And the way is finished. It's done. It's ready for you to receive. And you can receive forgiveness of sins. And He'll take you and receive you as personal child of His, and you'll be in His family and so on. By the way, let me just interject here before I finish, and that's this, because some of you pray for people and so on, and maybe some of you are living with a mate. Let me tell you something that happened in our family's life just recently. On January this year, I had my cousin to die, and she had cancer and she died and so on and so forth. She is a preacher's daughter. She was saved. She was married to this man for 63 or 67 years. They lived down here on the other side of Willard. And he had only went to church a very few times all of that time. And she lived with him. She went to church. He didn't. The Bible says in Peter that by the behavior of the wife or by the behavior that you can win your spouse or your husband to the Lord. At the graveside service at her husband that just died just about 3 weeks ago. I have another cousin that had been taking care of them in regard to their health problems and so on and so forth. She's a Christian lady. Her father was also a preacher and so on. And he was a handyman. He was out working in the garage. And she said a few days before he died, he came into the house and said, I want you to tell me how I can get where my wife is. His wife had a testimony. So she told him how he could get saved and receive Jesus Christ as his Savior if he would pray and ask God to forgive him. He did that very thing just about 3 weeks before he went and died in his sleep. You say, well, Brother Pringle, does that excite you? Well, kind of does. There's a lot of different ways that excites me. It proves the Scripture out again. Oh, by the way, the Scripture's always right. But I mean, but you see, she died and went to heaven not thinking her husband was coming. But because there were some lights that shone through, because God was bigger than we are. And she lived a life that said so. And he wanted to go where she was. Best I recollect, I think there's somewhere in the book it says, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one. Hallelujah! She was shouting that day when her husband got saved. She didn't think he was coming. But he said, I want to go where she was. He wasn't a bad man. He wasn't a wicked man in the sense of doing all kinds of things like that. He was just a lost man. It does make a difference what you believe. And it does make a difference how you act because of what you believe. And if you don't dress right, talk right, look right, and so on and so forth, maybe you're not right. That's not me the question. That's for you to get the answer. But I'm telling you one thing. We just keep going a little farther away and a little farther away in our distinction as a church sometimes. I'm talking about churches in general. I'm not talking about this church specifically. I'm talking about churches in general. Pastor says, his words, out of bounds, out of bounds. Mine is going along, get along. I tell you what, I just see over and over again, you know. Pastor says sometimes, and I just want to shout hallelujah and run around the building a little bit when he says, boy, I tell you, I can't hardly go to Walmart. I see some of them kids and their parents. I tell you, I have the same feeling. I've got to get back on the subject here, and that's this. Paul had some motivation. His motivation was the love of Christ. He got a real grasp. He said, I'm a new creature. He was blind for a few days, but I bet you'd be surprised what he saw. Reconciling sinners back to God. I get that privilege, he said. I'm going to use it till I die. And then when I get to heaven, I'll get rewards. Then I can remember I have nothing to boast about, regardless of how many get saved, how many churches I start. It doesn't make any difference how many I train and so on as preachers. The fact is I have nothing to boast about. But I know how he bears one another's burdens, and he said, that's what we're supposed to do, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, let me just ask again. Where is your scale for passion, love, and determination for Jesus Christ? If there's something you think you could probably improve on, according to the will of God once in your life, maybe you could start this right up here. Ask God to help you to be more enthusiastic, more motivated. Yeah. About your Christian life. Because you see what motivated Paul. He said, Timothy, old buddy, I'm leaving you. I'm going to die. But I'm telling you, it's going to get worse. So, you know, get your head on straight. Hello. There's a song that says, I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds... darken the sky, He'll never fail. I'll just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Never. He wants your sins if you're lost this morning. He really does. He loved you enough that not only did He love you, but He had a passion to go through every pain to keep you out of hell. He really wants you to go to heaven. And then if you're saved, He really wants you to live like you know you're going there. What's your scale on your dedication, your determination, your motivation, your excitement, your enthusiasm in regard to where you're going and how you're going to get there and to get to avoid hell for all eternity? May God have you to do what you wished you had done when you stand before Him. Let's all stand. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for the Apostle Paul. And Lord, there may be people who need to make decisions for, and may Thy will be done. May none of us boast about nothing except Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul said. And Lord, as we get ready to sing this hymn of invitation, Lord, may people respond immediately. Don't let the devil talk them out of it. If they know they need to come, just come. If they might spend a few minutes here, just come. Get rid of the pride. Get rid of self. Don't say, I'm before God. Say, the love of God, He's before me. God says, you are before me, not I'm before you. God, I'm going to do what I want to. I'm going to continue to do what I want to do. No. That's self-love. No. We've got to understand Christ's love and be motivated by it. Blessing this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Brian, begin to sing. If you need to come, won't you come? Don't put it off. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. That's it. Just come. Just come. I mean, you don't have to apologize to anybody. And if you're sitting in the middle of the aisle somewhere and so on and what have you, you just come. They'll let you out. Yeah. They got brotherly love. They got love one for another. They know we all carry some burdens. So if you need to come, just come. If you need to get saved, get it straightened out today.